Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Sponge Blake, drunk pants, absorbent and yellow and porous is he. I am hungover. Can you not see? I think that's how the lyrics go.
I'm sorry. What
was
is
that,
this?
Was that funny? Was that like a good opening bit?
No. What the fuck was that? It wasn't funny. There wasn't really a setup. There wasn't a punchline. There was just like, it was just SpongeBob, but you being hungover. Can you explain to me where this came from? You came in so confident. You were like, check this shit out. Oh, I got the heat to start this episode off. Here's a joke that I wrote at 5 a.m. when I was drunk as fuck. Is that what that was?
No. Okay. So...
You paused the show. You told me to wait because you needed to look it up because it was written down somewhere. You had to pull this up. You wrote this. At some point, Blake was like, I need to write this one up and I'm going to come back to it tomorrow.
Okay,
so
okay.
Now you have to give us the story.
So AJ and I and a couple of our friends were playing A Quiet Year last night, and I like to drink socially. So, like, I haven't drank in, like, 2 months. So, I went through 3/4 of a bottle of mead.
You didn't even get through the whole thing, huh?
No, I didn't get through the whole thing because I didn't want to push myself.
Also, it's not like a bottle. It was, like, maybe a 40-ounce mead.
Yeah, it was here, hold on. Here. I have it. It is 750 milliliters.
Okay.
So, it's, like, I believe that's a liter. Like, 1 liter of, I don't know. God, man, our friends in Sweden are going to look at us like we're fucking...
Yeah.
Jackasses.
750 milliliters does not make 1 full liter. That's not how the math works.
So went through a lot of that, and then I woke up this morning with a massive hangover, and I just couldn't get SpongeBob out of my head. So like in the bathroom when I'm by myself, I'm just laughing alone, just like man, AJ's gonna really have a good time with that joke. Like, I'm really excited to use that as the opening to the episode. So I'm just sitting there stroking my own fucking ego about
like,
how
this
fucking
one.
How fucking funny I'm gonna be.
This one's top tier. This one? Right. This joke? Oh, this one fucking bangs.
All right, Mr. Comedy Pants. I brought the heat with my hangover. Do you you have some AJ Science Corner to do, right?
Yeah, let me... Welcome to AJ Science Corner. How's it going? It's me, Dr. AJ.
What's your doctorate in?
My doctorate is in science stuff. Important background information. Let me just pull the curtain back a little bit. Blake and I came in and we were like, all right, what's going to be the opening bit? And Blake was adamant that he was going to bring his heat. So I get to bring my heat now too. And my heat is just the sentence. It's pretty fucked up that you can't taste with the bottom of your tongue.
It took me like a good 30 seconds to process what you were saying. And then
it sounds like fake bullshit, right? Like when I say that, you like your immediate thought is like, AJ, what's wrong with your tongue? But then you need to test it. And you're like, oh, God, I can't taste with the bottom of my tongue either.
Just grab a Switch game chip, because those are notoriously taste bad, and just put it under your tongue.
Not like the tip. Like you can taste with like the
no,
bottom
put
the
of the whole cartridge
your
in
tongue.
Your mouth so you could potentially ruin your cartridge at the same time. So it's just a bad experience overall.
I don't know. I just think it's really fucked up. Now, as you've certainly guessed, everybody, welcome back to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast, where we take your lovely submissions from all sorts of different places on the internet into the next AAA titles.
Should we say where they can send us submissions?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what professionals do.
That is what that's what the professional podcasts do.
I'm
not going to be a sucker for big podcast. If people want to submit, they can find us.
Oh, you want to make them put in a little bit of effort? Like,
yeah.
All right.
They need to prove it. Until I can work out a better intro, they have to prove it to us.
All right, AJ.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a submission, or do you want me to bring the heat? Because I'm obviously in the correct mindset.
You obviously cannot be trusted to bring the heat, so I'm going to open us up.
Okay, tell us about it, brother.
I got a submission here from Calvin and Hobbies, at Calvin and Hobbies. Muppets Dynasty Warriors.
Wait, Dynasty Warriors, if I remember correctly, that is the fighting game, but you can move around the 3D environment, but you're still locked on an axis to where it looks like Street Fighter, but the camera's like rotating around you.
No, what the fuck game are you talking about?
I thought that was Dynasty Warriors.
Dynasty Warriors was one of those. I believe the dev team is, I forget what the dev team is named, but it's one of those games where, like, you have your cool action hero and there's, like, a million hundred little dudes running around and you smack them and, like, a bunch of them go flying.
Oh, I think I'm, like, I think I'm thinking of Tekken, by the way.
Oh, you might be thinking of Tekken, the fighting game.
Actually,
yeah, no.
Was it Tekken or Samurai Showdown?
Tekken is the 3D arena. Samurai Showdown is a normal 2D fighting arena.
Okay, so I think I am thinking of Tekken. Tekken is the one that has, like, the tiger dude, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because I remember when you and I were watching Evo last year, I remember looking at that and being really fascinated.
Yes, Tekken rules. This is not about Tekken. Okay. This is about Dynasty Warriors, the game where you fight, like, 100 million people on screen. And it's been kind of duplicated into other games, Hyrule Warriors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a Fire Emblem one. The One Piece Warriors games follow this system.
This looks fucking fantastic. Why have I never played this? This looks awesome.
The Berserk video game that you've wanted to play a couple times, that's a system like this. Like, just like hundreds and hundreds of enemies. Your character will have like big, wide attack swings and you just fight hundreds. It's like junk food video games, right? Like, there's no like real deep mechanics here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's just really satisfying to watch the little damage ticker in the bottom tick up of how many people you've killed.
Really quickly, I feel like the biggest thing we need to figure out this. Okay, so the core mechanic is you're playing a Muppet and you're taking on hordes of enemies. We need to figure out what the hordes of enemies are.
Human beings.
No, I want to... there's something that is in a great supply right now, and it is also a cartoon character. And there's...
Minions.
Yes! There are thousands. There are thousands of them. So obviously, that's what we got to be doing. So it's like, it's a cartoon battle of the Muppets versus Minions. So, like, maybe here's the backstory to our thing. I don't think Disney officially owns the Muppet characters yet, because I know they tried acquiring them forever ago, but I think they are still owned by the Henson Company. But this is a world where they are being acquired by Universal instead, and now the Minions are trying to fight to maintain their space, so it's just this all-out brawl. And you know what the backdrop to our fucking fighting game is?
Is it Universal City
Walk? It's just all of Universal Studios, dude. So, like, each level is, like, a different themed ride that you fight on that has its own, environment mechanics in it.
Yeah, so, there'll be one level where you're, like, fighting on the Jurassic World level. So, like, while you're in there, like, as Kermit the Frog, karate chopping all of these hundreds of minions to, like, death.
Uh-huh.
There's like a big T-Rex that's going to be walking around in the background, and you got to make sure that he doesn't get a hold of you.
Just chomps you, dude. He'll periodic. Also, there's also the water dinosaurs that'll come up and just like crocodile style grab somebody and drag them away.
Okay, hold on. There's something very funny and satisfying about the idea of seeing Kermit the Frog and getting stuck in a death roll from a gator.
With his big his big floppy arms.
Yeah, like his big long arms just flopping around as the gator just twists and turns.
All right. You know what?
What are some of the fighting styles that these
really, really quickly, AJ? Because I want to make a reference to I think one of the funniest jokes you've ever made, like on podcast and outside podcast. We make the gator mechanic really overtly like flawed at the beginning, to where it happens more often than not. And our first patch notes is called Nerf the Gators.
Gators OP.
Gators OP. Nerf Gators, please.
That is one of my favorite jokes from this podcast.
It is probably the funniest thing this podcast that has come out of this podcast, hands down. Okay, so we have our Dynasty Warriors game. So it's the hordes of minions. And maybe as the game goes on, because in the second Minions movie, they become more powerful, but they get turned into great, crazy
berserkers. They do get turned into evil minions.
So maybe later in the game that happens. Or we can take the idea that different supervillains have different forms of minions, so it's not just the same enemy.
Nah, we've done that joke already.
Really?
Yeah, with the minionized, the minion based legal counsel game where the minions had all unionized. It's okay if you don't remember. I hold that game very near and dear to my heart because I just love the minions and the Despicable Me verse so much.
That's right. You are like a hyper fan of Despicable Me.
I don't like the Minions movie, but I do really like Despicable Me 1, 2, and 3.
They're all, like, really fucking good. Like, especially actually. Despicable Me 2. I think that is one of my favorites. Because it's just, like, it took a lot of the energy and the wholesomeness of the first one, but then was like, hey, what if we threw, like, a crazy-ass big plot that... Because that was, like, I feel the first time they expanded the universe and was like, hey, yeah, there's more supervillains.
Yeah, that's what sequels
grew.
Are used for,
yeah.
My man.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah, you can sum it up to basic parts and make it less wonderful, but still, it's cool. I liked it.
I think my favorite part of Despicable Me 2 was that they had these giant, like, tortilla chip sombreros that had guac all in the rim.
Fuck!
I think that was really cool.
God, I would love to do that. When we can party again, that's what we'll do.
I want to get a guac hat.
Get a guac hat. All right. That's a power up you can get this game. I didn't know if you knew that, but what's animal? Animal walks around with a guac hat and he can just like grab. Because the guac is real. It's like not a guac. Maybe he has a salsa hat. So when he throws it, it's like a fireball. He's like our.
Ooh, I like that.
He's our caster character. So yeah. he throws flaming salsa fireballs at the minions. Okay, so can you name any other Muppet characters? Because there's Miss Piggy, there's...
Miss Piggy, Kermit the Frog, Fonzo, was that the name of one?
I have no idea.
The blue one with the big nose, I think it was an alien.
To be honest, the only Muppet thing I know, the three Muppet things I know is that the Henson Company was almost acquired by Disney, and they almost turned the park into have Muppets, Muppets Invade, I believe is what it was called. And I watched the pirate movie, Muppets Treasure Island, and Muppets A Christmas Carol. And that's all I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the Muppets movie had a Muppet that was just like looked like a human, and he thought he was a human. And then I guess in the Muppet movie, he found out he was made of felt.
What the fuck? What?
Yeah.
Human Muppet.
You see? You see what I'm saying?
The characters
you see what I'm
feature,
talking about?
Albeit style. Well, I mean, there's a couple characters that are Muppet, like that are humans.
No, the chef's not human. I don't know what the chef is but he
is
ain't
it
human.
Dave, is it Dave the human?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. The only humanoid character to ever appear amongst the animals, Dave the human was a puppet version of Muppeteer Dave Golez. Footage material
see,
of a
okay,
real
this
human.
Is what. Okay, we just stumbled onto something because that article just says that it's the only humanoid Muppet, but you and I both know that the chef exists, so what the fuck is going on with him, and what is happening with those three old men? If they're not humanoid, what are they?
Old people aren't humanoid, I guess. I don't know. As you become older, you become bigger and
less
stronger.
Human.
Stronger than a human. I don't know.
Why don't you hit me with another video game?
Oh, gonna hit you with another video game? All right.
I'm just worried that we're getting dangerously close to a real truth, and Jim Henson's going to kick our asses for it.
The ghost of Jim Henson?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this one comes to us from, "Don't you lie to me, I know you buried the treasure in your eyes." Celebrity All-Star Water Slide Racing. Really quickly, I feel like we need to discuss, who do you think would be like the fastest at water slides?
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito? I was going to say Danny DeVito, too, because he always looks like he's wet.
Well,
He just looks like he can... I'm the trash man, but, you know...
I'm trash. So, my reason for Danny DeVito is, like, there's just, like, a... There's just a hydro aerodynamicness to him, right?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
He looks like he matches that, like, perfect level of, like, the hydrodynamicness that you need from a water slide and the aerodynamicness you need from the top part of the water slide. Like, he just looks like the perfect mix mash of that speed and force.
Okay, you know who I'm going to pit up against Danny DeVito in a race? It's a duo team. It's Key and Peele, but specifically from the short where... Jordan Peele is like sweating profusely. So it's just through their combined powers, they are going to slip and slide together. And they're a duo team.
So, their slide would be extra wet, wouldn't it?
All right. So how? What is the game here? Because like right now, what we have is just like we have two characters that have different aerodynamic and slidey, you know, stats, and they're just going down a thing. I think it should be like something like, you ever play Wipeout for the Wii? I know. It's like kind of.
What a fucking pull. No.
Okay. You're on a set track, and it's just basically a bunch of timed events. So there's like, I feel like you can do a thing where. Oh, excuse me. I'm feeling the effects. Basically, it is this. There are multiple lanes for slip and slides, and you can like hop into different lanes. So it's like a lane racer, like Sonic. Like I think Sonic's a really good example. You know, like how he's going down the rails, and there's usually three that he can switch between.
Okay, I was actually thinking. So the older games would have like the like. It was a lane racer, but like rather than like three lanes, he had like five.
Mm.
I like this idea of a lane racer though. And maybe we, oh, you know what? One of the Sonic games, I want to say it was Sonic Heroes, had like a level that you could do that threw out the lane racing completely. And the way it worked was like, it was like a tube runner, but you could end up going like all the way up and down on the tubes.
Oh, you mean, those were the bonus levels of, I believe it was either Sonic 2 or Sonic Heroes. Where you're talking about the one where like you are in a half pipe that you can like sweat like
yeah you're in a half pipe and you're chasing after the Chaos Emerald. Maybe we take a game system like that and that's like the racer for this game.
Okay, real quick question, just to decide it: are we on the same tube or are we on opposing tubes? Because I feel it would be more fun. Because like this game can go up to like 8 players. Imagine like 8 celebrities. All bumping each other into like spikes and holes and other obstacles throughout this pipe.
Oh God, is this a party racer?
I think this is could be like a fun party like tube racing game.
Yes. So, okay, it's a party tube racer. Mm-hmm, there's different like there's different people that you can all like play as, right? There's Danny DeVito, there's Key and Peele. Who are some other characters that we would love? Some other actors. These are not characters. These are real people.
Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt, Aubrey Plaza. Is Michael Cera kosher still, or did he become an asshole?
I think he is an asshole, but I do want him in this game anyway.
Okay, and all of their skins that you can unlock through racing are just
different costumes from movies.
Different costumes from their
Michael
movies.
Michael Cera in there, dressed as Scott Pilgrim, and Michael Cera in there, dressed as the dude from Juno.
Okay. Oh, we should also have the lady from Juno. She's an excellent actress. I forget her name, though. I used to know it like off the top of my dome, but I completely forgot. God, Juno's such a good movie, actually.
Juno is good.
Oh, man. Okay. All right, so there's what are some of the obstacles that they would have to face? Because I feel like what are obstacles that celebrities have to face? Because I feel it needs to be
I was trying to think of obstacles that water slides could run into. I was thinking things like a diaper, a Band-Aid in the pool. Maybe a nice little rubber ducky. If you hit that, your character will like bounce into the air, and that's chaotic because you don't know where you're gonna land.
You know, it'd be kind of a fun like thing that makes the game really have a lot of pressure. There is a I forget what it's called, but it's like the stage itself is like breaking behind you. So it's like you're running away from, or maybe it's like a big ass beach ball, like a boulder from Indiana Jones. Like if you have to outrace the boulder. So if like you can go slow, which will allow you to like, you can slow yourselves down, which will allow you to get through the obstacles really easily, but you still have to outrace this giant beach ball.
Yeah.
And then everybody has funny little death sounds.
I like that.
All right. I think that's a game.
That's a game.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Put a pin in that. Moving on.
All right. Give me another one, brother.
I got one here from... Oh, dang. I swapped away. I got one here, and let's go ahead and... I'm kind of feeling this racing mechanic system.
Oh.
I got something here from Caleb at Busto314, a horse race RPG where horses have powers based on their ridiculous names.
I also have that one. Let me scroll down and find it so I can go.
Here's a list.
Yep. You name one and I can name one. How about that?
All right, this is very funny because there's two horses back to back here. One is named Alpha Male.
God damn it! I was literally looking at that one.
But it's not Alpha Male like you think. It's Alpha Male like a delivery. But then the horse right after that is Alpha Male Order. There's another one here, Alpha Mile and Alpha Miles. Like, plural. Like, oh, that's a good name. I would like that one, too, also, actually. Mm-hmm. I'll just slap an S on that.
Okay.
What do we got here? There's a horse here named Category 4 Play. Don't know the powers there.
There's another one I found. Big Juicy, and then Big Potato, and then probably my favorite is, oh, God, where did it go? Where did it go? Bible Quest.
Okay, this one's stupid. I found one here just called Double Beige. Like,
double
what the fuck?
Double Beige.
Beige. Two.
Yeah, it's not really like an adjective that's fun.
Hey, Blake, I need you to go to the D section because I found just a list of horse doctors.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Dr. Payne. Dr. No. Dr. Moody. Dr. Mantra. Dr. Love. Without an E.
I'm a huge fan of Dr. Good Funk.
Actually, I found one that's really good. Dr. Successor.
So if that horse dies in the race, it just comes right back.
Oh, shit. Dragon
like,
Soothe?
We got to think, like, RPG-wise, all these horses have superpowers.
Oh, my God. Each one of them has... It's because, like, for this game to work, we are going to have everything that is on this list. eligible gold diggers.
That's a good name for a horse.
El Dainty. I like that. Electric Waffle? Fuck yes. Oh my God. For this to work, we're going to have this whole catalog of horses, but they each have one power. And it's just a really simple mechanic of you're racing, so you have to like press A like really fast. That's the racing thing. And then like your trigger will activate the one power that you have. So it's just really simple, but there's like hundreds of things here. So there's like each one has its own unique power.
I found a horse here named Poor Trot of a Horse Player.
I found another one called Fort Angus, and I just love that. Freaking out? Hell yeah. Oh my God. All right, we can look at these all day, but we should talk about like, okay. So
there's just a lot of dumb horse names. Ranchy Fiesto.
Giant Bob, love that. All right. So we should talk more about the game. Like, what are you thinking?
Have we done a horse racing game already?
We did do that. Earth Defense Horse, which was like the
was
like the basketball,
which was part basketball, part horse racing game. So is this already? Is this treaded ground already?
Horses with powers we have not discussed. And
all right, let's talk about horses with superpowers. What does that look like?
I feel it is horse racing with powers that you can use against the other horses. Oh, you know what the design aesthetic of this is? I don't know if you've played it yet, but like 51 Clubhouse Games has a bunch of things in there that are just like toy versions of games. Like it has Rock'em Sock'em Robots, it has, you know, baseball, it has it has tennis, it has God, what's the other one?
Yeah, I get you. Like,
yeah.
Like toy sports.
It looks like a toy. So it looks like that like a toy racing set. Like the thing we have in Vegas.
I want something a little bit more fidelity than that. Because like if these horses are going to be casting spells, I want them to be like animated to give those spells and maybe some fun little outfits. Maybe we could lean into something a little bit more like a Yoshi's Woolly World.
Okay, so it still has a little bit of cartoony aspects.
Yeah, it's still cartoony. It still feels
still
crafted
experiment
and
with
fake.
Animation.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, now we can play with animation. Now we can make these horses dress up in fun wizard hats. Because if it's an RPG, right, Rogue Temptation is going to cast some
That's
spells.
What we call it. It's wizard horse racing. So like each horse here is a wizard, and they are all casting spells as they race. So
but These are going to be classes. These are different skills. Like, there's a horse here named Rocket Science. That one's not a wizard. Maybe that one has some fun glasses on and has a turbo rocket strapped to its hip.
That's like the new character from ARMS. That's like, hey, I don't have magical powers. Oh, actually, wait, that isn't a character from ARMS. That's just a character from Storybreak. Blah! Sorry.
No, there is a character from ARMS that has a robot.
Is that a character?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay, so there's a character that doesn't have, like, the magical ARMS powers, so they built themselves a robot so they can compete. And I think that's just such a cute little mechanic, and I'd love for one of our horses to have that. There's one called Hairpiece, and they're just Bayonetta. It's just horse Bayonetta. Okay,
is there a system here, or is this... Oh, or is this going to be one of those games that, like, it's a racing game, and, like... We're going to release it with like 20 horses that all have unique skills. And then as time goes on, we're going to continue releasing horses that have new skills based on their names. Right. So like it starts off just 20 people and then we're on some League of Legends shit. And like 3 years down the road, we have 127 different horses.
I think the thing that you can do is you take the new Smash game method where you release with like a core set of horses. You have like 8 different horses you can choose from. And then suddenly challengers appear that you can then add to your roster. But there is also a circuit mode where it's like you go up against all of the horses on a trail. Like, you've played the adventure mode in Smash Bros, right?
Smash 2? Or Smash, which one?
The newest one. Because
they've had a lot of adventure ones.
The newest one for the Switch.
Yeah, it's all right. The board, the Smash board.
Yeah. So basically, you have this giant map of like the United States, or actually maybe the UK, because I if I remember correctly, horse racing is bigger in the UK than it is here. Man, I might be super wrong.
That's because the horses are bigger there because we had to shrink them down to get them on the boats to bring them to the US. But over in the UK, they're like normal, like. They haven't been bred to be small, so horses are way bigger over there.
Their magic is much more powerful than our American horses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So basically, it's like that. So you just have this big circuit of the UK, and you're going from race to race to race, and each race presents a new kind of power that you have to deal with, and maybe some obstacles. Like,
but
there's like
here's
obstacle
my thing:
hazards.
Is like I think that like the broad scope of these horses is so big. So is this going to be a game that we launch with like a bunch of different characters, or is this going to be something that we slowly leak out and continue expanding on? Right?
Because, I feel like, you could.
We
do
start
the
game as a race as a fun wizard horse racing you game, but Rocket Science is going to get in there somehow.
You can do the league method where you launch with a bunch of characters, but still add characters over time.
Okay.
You know, we literally have. I'm just going to throw out a random number. We have 300 horses here. We can launch with 100.
From launch?
Yeah, we can launch with 100 horses and then just, like, release a new horse every month or, like, every week. Every week. Horse Fridays, dude.
Or horse every week there's a new horse. Hold up. Yes. Okay. So. Okay. Now we're on some shit.
Mm-hmm.
This is a racing game, right? But mm-hmm. every week we're going to be releasing a new horse that has new skills. And mm-hmm. I think that like every horse only actually has 2 skills, right? This way like the skills don't really matter. It's mostly about the racing game, and we're going to get mm-hmm. some real race heads into this, right? We're going to steal that Gran Turismo fan audience because they're going to be like a Bugatti Veyron again? That's so last year. When I could be doing a race with Root Cannoli.
So, really quickly, I just want to talk about, like, strangely, I want to talk about camera angles. Is this, like, a top-down thing, or is this, like, a Forza thing where you're, like, in the perspective of the horse?
I want it to be a Forza thing where it's in perspective of the horse, and there's a couple different angles you can take. You can take, like, up, back, behind the horse. You could take the horse perspective. You could take, mm-hmm. like, if you were a jockey on the horse.
Could you?
Maybe you could take, like, a side angle of the horse.
Could you do a thing that would... I think something that'd be really fun is... I like how, like, Trials has done it. You know, the motocross racing game. You can customize the bike itself, and you can customize the racer. So you can do cosmetics for the jockey and the horse, but we have to specify the jockey just races the horse. The one with the powers is the horse.
Yes, of course.
So that's like, you know, that'll be their magic wand or whatever.
Yeah, the jockey, the horse would essentially then become somebody's loadout, right? Like, mm-hmm, oh yeah, mm-hmm. What are you racing these days, Blake? Like, what's your main these days?
Matzo boil.
Okay, nice, nice. I've been using Rutabaga Princess personally. I really like her command skill. Having a slow on another horse is really nice, like a nice on-target slow. A lot of other horses don't have that, at least not yet.
I found one just called Murder Mystery, and their power is they just sneak up behind a horse and, like, stab them, and then the horse is, like, just dead for the rest of the race.
Murder Mystery does have a stealth kill mechanic.
They're like the spy from TF2. Like, maybe they can disguise themselves as other horses or something like that, maybe?
Well, I think what was the name of the horse?
Murder Mystery.
Murder Mystery. I think Murder Mystery gets two skills because they need to be in tandem. I think that Murder Mystery has a stealth kill system where, like, if they're in last place, they can kill the horse that is in front of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then if they've made that kill, they get a boost. Right? I love this idea of, like, mm-hmm. a horse racing game with a health pool, right? You can knock somebody out of the race, and every horse has skills that are on cooldowns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Dude, hell yeah. Wow.
And again, I love this idea of, like, actually, like, leaking out horses every 2 weeks. And I think that's where we can really get into some wild, nasty, messed up game design shit. I want to put a pin in this. This has nugability.
This does have nugability. Just horse Thursdays or horse Fridays, something like that.
Horse days. We'll get into how horrid we can make.
God,
those.
Think of the LAN parties though. It'd be like just people get together in like a living room with all their computers and be like, "What horse are we gonna get today? Is there actually a drop mechanic? Like,
are the horses on a gacha system?
Yeah, because like you can it's like Destiny. There's different levels of gear. There's common. There's rare. There's exotic. And or legendary or whatever. So you can do a thing where like you have to at the end of every race, you get to like roll like a slot machine or something like that.
At the end of every race, you get like one ticket. Mm-hmm. If you get 50 tickets, then you can do one summon for a horse.
I want to do a thing where it's like it's every race because like
here's what we'll set up then. I think that we'll have to set up a tier system for the horses, right? Like there's a normal horse, there's the advanced horses, and then there's like thoroughbreds.
Mm-hmm,
and I think that like every race, if you get to do like a summon, that's only going to be like your 1 to 2 star level horses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, but, and you know what we also do? So it's like at the end of every race, it's a random draw and it can come from any of those things. On horse release day, each race ends like you get 4 horses for each category that we have.
No, you're being far too generous for a gacha system. You're over here like, oh, let's give them horses. Do you know how long somebody has to play League of Legends to be able to unlock a character full time? So
without paying for it? How much does like a League of Legends character cost?
We will set up a rotation where like horses come and go, right? Like maybe 1 week, maybe every horse day we'll like set up like, oh, these 5 horses are free to play right now. So you can test out these horses and see if you like them. But there's not a way, like you can buy a horse for like a G. Like a full G, like a grand, you can buy a horse full time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or you can summon for your horses and like pull for your horses and hope that they come in. But the odds are so slim for those top tier horses, Blake.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the reason why this works, right? Like, absolutely, a gacha system in a PvP game is abhorrent.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make so much money off of people that give a shit.
Okay. All right, let's put a pin in this because I feel like if we do come back to this, I feel if we're going to do a gacha game system, there has to be other games in it other than racing, other game types.
Because people just want to race.
Well, no, I feel like you could do a thing where it's like, I like it, like, for, I guess the best example is Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. There was multiple ways to play that game. There was like, you can do the Pokemon battle thing, or you can do the fashion circuit. You know, I feel like you can do a fashion circuit because there's like there are competitions for horses. Like there's dog shows, horse shows. I feel you can then make the cosmetics a core mechanic for other ways to play the game.
And okay, also, I see what you mean. Yes. I see where you're going. We'll put a pin in this and we'll potentially come back around. Yes. I see what you're saying now.
Yes.
Though.
It adds cuz you know, I think in a weird like one of our things with you know, the studio, Spiritual Successor Studios, I feel like all of our games tend to lean towards things that have double mechanics, and I like applying that.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I don't like to put us in a box, Blake.
Yeah, I know.
You can't box my creativity, my imagination, my special sauce. You can't box this shit. I go where the spirit
takes
me.
You're right. Like, so, like Private Dick, our fucking noir dating game, there is only one way to play that game. I understand.
Exactly.
But it's so much fun to do two games in one.
I see what you mean, though, right? Like, we set up, like, this fun engine where, like, you get two skills on your horses, and, like, the general way that most people are going to play this is by doing, like, the eight-person, like, big race. Mm-hmm. But then maybe we add in some other game types. Maybe there's a barrel racing contest, in which case, if we eventually release a horse that has a drift mechanic, maybe that's the meta for the barrel racing. You know, but not every horse is going to have a drift.
I love the idea of it basically all of the maps changing. Like maybe each week maybe each month we introduce a new map. So the horses release really like more periodically. But like one of the maps is just the Tokyo Drifting, Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift Mountain that they race on, where you're just going down the mountain and have to drift around it.
Yes, you know what? You're right. I had not considered the possibility of other map types, other racing systems. I thought a little bit too in the pro play scene. Thank you for bringing me back to a casual perspective. Like, it's so important to have that. We need to make sure our game is approachable and fun, as well as being a horrible cash cow.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Why don't you give me another submission?
I'm gonna give you another wizard themed one, and this comes to us from level 9000. Yeah, Drew Druid, Drew Davenport at @_Davenport. Wizard Glove Maker 2. It's a snap. Is there a number one of this game that I'm not aware of?
Of course there's a Wizard Glove Maker.
Well, no. I mean, like, not haha funny joke. I mean, like, is there like a game that existed before this?
I want to gaslight you so bad, but I can't think of anything funny to say.
Well, saying you want to gaslight me is pretty funny. Ha ha ha. Okay, so this is a VR game. This has to be a VR game. Because, like, the feeling I want to have is, I would love to have the feeling of walking into a closet and seeing all these different pairs of gloves that look fantastic and wondrous and are made of different material, and I can just walk over to them in VR and pick one up and put it on. And I feel like that would just be such a satisfying thing to do. And then I could take it over to, like, my little designer table, and then I can look at my hands, and using my other hand, I can put stuff on each individual finger, or I can maybe even sew my... It has a gaming mechanic where you can actually sew your own, and it's like its own little mini game where you, like, weave magic into your fabric.
Ooh,
so it's like,
like,
it's
this.
you are crafting your own wizard gloves. So, like, you're like a little, the game starts with, like, you being, like, a kid or, like, some sort of low-level wizard, and you have to, like, work your way up. And that's, like, that's the background to the actual gameplay. So the gameplay could be, like, there's a couple routes we can do with it. We can do it, like, D&D style, where you're, like, a battle wizard, or you can do a thing where maybe it's a puzzler. So, I don't know.
This game is, like, what was that game that you, me, and Joe were talking about last week where the game just kind of, like, tells you what you need to do and then you do it?
Fallout?
Like, no. It was the surgery game.
Oh, Surgeon Simulator.
No. The one with the anime people.
Oh, you mean Trauma Center.
Trauma Center, right. Mm-hmm. So in Trauma Center, they do stuff like, now make sure you grab the laser pointer and laser solder this thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe it's a gameplay loop like that where it's like, okay, now grab the sewing machine and sew the glove together. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to want to go ahead and grab the Mystic Codex of the Phoenix Dove.
I don't know. Like, I feel there's a great phone.
Hear me out.
Okay.
I think that the reason why I'm interested in pursuing this, like, tactile gameplay loop is the marketing campaign, right? This is the sequel to a game that we never created, but it's a next-gen VR game.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the whole ad campaign, all the things that we're advertising, everything that we're going to be, like, being like, oh, this is the reason why you need to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
It looks better. Oh, it just looks so much better, Blake. The graphics, the textiles.
I would hope
the gibs and the gobs and the insides.
I don't think Half-Life. I don't think Half-Life 2 would have been great if it looked worse than Half-Life 1. You know what I mean? I feel like
exactly.
That's just the common growth.
Only thing that we're marketing about it. That's the only thing that we're pushing. Oh, it looks so much better. Oh, Forza 5 doesn't look as good as Glove Maker 2.
Okay, but what does that look like?
Oh, it just looks so good. No, I don't but think what you it, get no, it. Like, no, I need to no. conceptualize how good it looks.
No, like, you're giving me such a broad statement. It's like our marketing campaign is just us saying it looks better. But what is that? What is the joke? Like, what is the slogan that we are using? Because it sounds like we're building the trailer rather than building the game.
Magic never looked so good. It looks like real magic.
Okay.
Like, Forza's over here like, oh, our game looks so good and our cars look so hyper-realistic. Suck shit. I don't give a shit. Tell me about how good those gloves are. Of course, like, Blake, I'm going to break out a character really quick. I don't give a shit either. But those people about that care about those teraflops and those gigahertz, oh, they're going to love this game.
They can just turn it up to max settings and see the fabric. I'll be honest with you. I went into this submission like... not in, like, the caricature of, we should make a cool game that shouldn't be made. It was like, man, I'd totally play this fucking game. So I'm like, I think I'm on the opposite side of what you're going for right now.
So what you want to create is, like, a fun fantasy game where you actually, like, play with the mechanics of magic. You're actually tactile looking at, I'm putting a phoenix feather into this glove so my fire magic is going to be better. You want to talk about, like, an actual game where you are the crafter for a magic source
or magic tools.
Yeah, I think
that'd be so, that would, like, because... it, for me personally, I think games that tap into like the childlike wonder of experimentation and discovery and like just figuring out how to like, hey, if I combine these two things, what happens? I think there's such a just a pure human joy in that.
Yeah. No, you know? I totally get it. I don't think you ever played it. Did you ever play Dragon Age Inquisition?
I have not played Dragon Age Inquisition. That game is too big.
So hidden away in Dragon Age Inquisition, and I do say hidden away because no NPC teaches you about it. Nobody pulls you aside to tell you that this is here. There's a whole gear crafting system in that game. Like, there's all sorts of resources that you can pick up throughout the game. You can pick up recipes for different things that you can put more resources into. And there's a whole crafting system so that you can craft bows and shields and boots.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally get it. Like, there's something very, very satisfying about that. Like, I found these things and I know that if I combine them, I get like a bonus to my frost resistance, right? Like I have these chemicals that give me resistance.
How
I have
about
these things that give me elemental stuff. I love that combination. Now, boots of frost resist.
How about this? How about we meet in the middle here? So this is one of those games, like the end goal is like an alchemist sort of thing where you're just throwing things together and you're seeing what works. You go into the gameplay, which is like maybe you're just a combat wizard. You have to go fight your way through levels or whatever. But we give no instructions on how to do it. So the opening parts of the game is like, man, what if I combine this to this? And you don't know until you get in the level. So like you walk out, like you put a little feather into your nice wool glove. Turns out you don't cast fireball, you just cast chicken. Like, and you just throw chickens at people, and it's just like that confusing. It could be frustrating too.
There's no stats.
There's
right?
no stats.
Like, as you combine these things together, there's no feedback. There's no ticker that's going to be like 5% bonus to blah de blah. It's just going to be like, what do you feel is doing better?
And then we can also just like market our trailers to be like that sort of same thing where it's just like, look at like showing all the complex things that you can do, but not how to do them. So it's like it shows you, it's like, wow, like you can cast this, you can like, you get necromancy gloves and you can like raise all of the dead and they suddenly start fighting for you, but it's like you get into the game and all you have are just like a sewing kit and like maybe one feather or a stone or some glowing like little elemental rock from Pokemon or something, and you just kind of
have
to experiment.
How the fuck do you create necromancy, right?
Yeah,
like, do I need, like, I think I need, like, a stasis and a heal. Mm-hmm. I think I need a little bit of a command spell in there, but I'm not entirely certain where on my outfit
I need
to have
that command spell. That you can put on the glove itself to, like, make it look like you have skeleton hands.
Ooh,
yeah.
Yes. Here's the crazy thing about Wizard Glove Maker 2, because, of course, all of this was in Wizard Glove Maker 1.
Mm-hmm.
Wizard Glove Maker 2! You can make hats as well.
Oh, that's cute. I like
that.
That's
it. Those are the only two things you can craft. Again, like, but yes, I love that there's like a full like casting game. And what does that gameplay look like? Is it a third person shooter?
It's
but
VR.
With the idea of like you being
no,
a caster?
It's VR, dude. Like, so you're walking you're walking through the level, and your hands are the gloves that you made. And when you make the hat, you actually have to pick it up off of your crafting table and put it on your head. So you have to, like, dress up. Is whatever you're dressed in is your current loadout for the next level.
And again, no tutorials.
No tutorials. You just, like, when you start
up the
workshop,
game. You have a workshop. You have all these things that you can pull around and mess with. And, like, there will be, like, a little bit of a feedback so that you know what you're crafting has crafted something.
Yeah, it'll give you, like,
no
a little
way to tell
like a
what
little
it's going
ding,
to do until
like,
you go out.
Yeah, it'll give you, like, a little ding, like, you know, like a doo-doo-doo, like, when you completed a craft. So you know it's not incomplete when you walk out the door.
Yes.
So, and then, like, maybe as the game goes on, like, you start having access to more crafting material, your lab gets bigger, you have, like, a cool wardrobe closet that has all of the gloves you've made.
Ooh, yeah, the ability to start saving your gloves, saving your loadout between your two hat, or your two gloves and your hat.
This reminds me of a really just, like, a fun game. I couldn't understand it for the life of me because it was a game that was very hard. It was just called Alchemy, and it was a game for your phone where you just, like, start out with, like, earth, water, fire, and air, and you have to, like, basically flesh out the entire periodic table of material. And it's, like, just such an interesting, like, build'em sequencing game, and I feel like I want to tap into that. There was no tutorials on the Alchemy game either.
Yeah, we just want people to, like, feel like a wizard, like a little alchemist wizard tailor.
Yes, yeah. Fuck yeah. All right, that's a game. AJ, do you want to do a couple lightning round things, and then we go into our nug?
Yeah, I got a lightning round really quick.
Hell yeah.
This comes from Don't You Lie to Me. I know you buried the treasure in your eyes, that dust in your eyes. Destroy all humans' extinction. We're bringing it back again. Third time.
Wait, that was a thing?
You remember Destroy All Humans, right?
I have never played Destroy All Humans.
That's okay. You were super excited when they released an HD remaster of Destroy All Humans, right?
I actually did watch the trailer and I'm like, whoa, this looks great.
Everyone was so excited and so hyped about our weird niche middle school game, Destroy All Humans, making a comeback. We couldn't wait for it.
Okay. So what
this
game
is
are
parody.
You
I totally forgot that they redid a remaster. First of all, I forgot that they did that game twice, and I forgot they did a remaster of it this year. But we're bringing it back again. Destroy All Humans Extinction, here it is.
And there you go. That's our game. All right, I got
it. Has all of the favorite things that you love from Destroy All Humans. It has a probe gun and the gun that makes people's head really big so it explodes.
You can lift cows with your spaceship. What are the things that I see from the trailer? Our guy,
the alien, makes
snark.
A lot of sex jokes about how he likes butt stuff.
God, this I'm I wonder if, like, if I were to play that game, I'd be like, hey, this joke is, like, super not kosher anymore, man.
Well, I hope that it's not problematic, but it would definitely feel like early 2000s writing. You know what I mean? Like,
it was a dark time, man.
It was a dark time for comedy.
All right. I got one from Alley Cat at Millennium Hoo-Ha. A farming life sim that's extremely calming and delightful for the most part, except for the constant looming threat of something that's slowly chasing you down, able to instantly kill you and delete all of your progress. You can run and you can hide, but you cannot respawn. Do you remember that really, like, kind of scary question of, like, hey, you could, like, have all the money in the world, or you can live forever, or you have everything that makes you happy,
okay, you
but there's always
the
snail that is always coming after you, right?
$1 million, but a snail's on its way to kill you, and if it touches you, you die.
Yeah, you die instantly. I feel like everybody's seen that question on Facebook or whatever social media. So it's just that game. So it's you take something like Stardew Valley, where, well, maybe not Stardew Valley, because there is a specific... Minecraft, I think, would be a better thing because it's an open world where you can constantly be moving.
Yeah, you can do it all. You can do everything. You can have a whole little factory set up. You can have your own little home. You can have crops and families and like a nice, happy life. But if that snail comes into your town, watch out.
See, that's so interesting to me because with Minecraft, or at least, you know, how I play it, it's always about finding the perfect spot and hunkering down and just building outward. This causes you to, like, migrate pretty frequently.
Yeah.
So you kind of, like, can take something. Maybe you build a interconnected cities. So, like, you take something. It wasn't executed well, but in Fallout 4 there was a, like, trading route mechanic where, like, between all of your settlements, they would start trading with one another and like growing their resources, growing their money, growing like their, you know, their power. So maybe you could do something like that where it's a city management system where you're like going from place to place to place to build up each individual city and then making sure they connect back to the previous city. But if the snail catches up with you, you can't go back to that previous city. So however you set it up is like the max it can go, and you can't return to that city. So
at least not until the snail leaves.
Yeah. So like if you fucked up that city and didn't set up a trade route, the next location you go to has no supplies and you have to start over again, basically, because you don't have access to your previous stuff.
So yeah, I like the idea of a survival game where like everything that you're building could be forfeit at any second. And I almost wonder if this is just a mod that we can put into any like survival game, right? Like you could throw this mod into Minecraft. You could throw this mod into, what was that one survival horror game that I'm really bad at, but you and I have played like 4 times? You play as the little like Tim Burton looking dudes.
Oh, Don't Starve. I love that game.
Yeah.
God, Maybe.
We can throw a little murder snail into Don't Starve.
Just so I can remember, so I don't forget. Don't Starve can go up to like 16 players. We should play that with a Discord. Don't let me forget that.
What?
It can go up to like six. Yeah, Don't Starve Together can go up to like, I think it's even more than 16 players. Yeah, you can do
I
like
I wonder if
huge
I can
servers.
Still cause the death of a 16-person society in Don't Starve Together.
Well, you did fuck us up pretty bad
at these games.
Yeah, you're not really into survival horrors, are you?
I'm not into survival games, really, I don't think. Like, I'm fine with them for a little bit, but then after about, like, an hour or two, I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bored.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, I mean, like, I would love to play, like, with a group one of these days, The Forest, because that's a survival game that actually has a story you need to go through and discover.
I could fuck with.
Yeah, because you just need to survive long enough to uncover the entire story. And then after that, it's just, like, I don't think the game ends.
I just have to survive? There's no agency?
Well,
That's the thing. That's where I run into a lot of problems. Like,
what do you mean by
how's
agency?
It going? Welcome to Spiritual Successor. It's a comedy game talk podcast. I just don't like games where I don't feel like I have control over things, right? Like I don't have a drive or a goal. Like in what's the name of that game? We just Don't Starve. Like your goal is to just like, I don't know, live.
Well,
go check out a hole
actually,
in the
there,
floor.
There is a story to it. It's basically once you're in the overworld, you are trapped there by Oswald, like this weird, powerful sorcerer guy, at least we think. You actually have to find his gate in the world, and once you go into the gate, it's just you are teleported to various different worlds that you then have to survive in. I think it's like until you find the other gate, the gate within that world, and you're going through it like the layers of hell, basically, until you get to the final world where Oswald is.
Yeah,
and
but like
in each one of these
I guess
worlds,
my hang
there's
up
new
is
characters
like,
to meet. And
my gameplay loop doesn't bring me closer to that, and it brings me closer to surviving more. And
okay.
I think that's where like I run into like I don't like that like my goal is to just survive. I like to have like a goal.
Okay, so how could we add agency to this game, to Alley Cat's game? Is there just like are we trying to get to the other side of the continent, or it's you're trying to...
Maybe you're trying to lap the snail, because if you can lap the snail, then if you touch him, it will die.
Oh, so maybe you're... That's the thing. So you've been cursed... And there's this if the snail touches you, you could try and run your way all the way to the other side of the continent, but you will most likely die because you're one didn't have enough material,
But if you
supplies.
Can touch the snail's back,
well,
then it will die.
Well, you could do that, or you could do a thing where like you have to build an interconnected like route of towns and cities all the way to the other side of the continent where the cure for your curses, and then it becomes a thing where you chase the snail.
Yeah.
So it could be like you go get the curse reversal, and then bam, now you hunt snails.
Now you hunt the snail. I like that. All right, Blake, it's time to think about our nug.
All right, I love the glove one, but if we're keeping with cool games that shouldn't be made, I think we should go with the horse one.
Here's my problem.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I would have more fun talking about the glove one.
Really?
But I feel like our legacy is more...
I'm actually very, like, surprised that you went with the glove one, because I know, like, you know, our dynamic is, like, I know you like going for the wilder, like, crazy ideas, so it's interesting that you, because I know you were, like, trying to turn it into something that was, like, kind of wacky and zany and stuff, so I'm very surprised by that decision.
Here's my problem.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Wizard Glove Maker so very much. Like, it sounds like such a kick-ass actual game.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the mission statement we have here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that maybe we should fall back on our horse game.
Okay. All right. If you feel... Okay. I guess I want to go with something that we feel like we can actually build upon. We could talk more about, like, what are the side games of the horse game.
Well, like, I think that the side games are, like, barrel racing. What I want to focus in on... Here's my problem. The horse mm-hmm. game right now, I feel like, doesn't have that stink on it. It doesn't have that negative energy. It doesn't have that thing where we win and our players
lose. Are you
lose.
Saying people should just be okay with the gacha game mechanics where they blow exorbitant amounts of money?
I'm saying that we need to find ways to make our gacha system worse, right?
Okay.
Like,
okay.
We already have the system of, like, you do races, you get tickets, you turn those tickets into, like, the low-rate horses.
I don't know
how... do they get the premium currency to get those 5-star horses? And the way that these are going to be different, right, is, like, our 1 to 2 star horses get, like, 1-2 skills. But our 5-star horses, they're going to have 5 skills that you can use. What? But they're so rare.
Okay, because I'm trying to figure out something that's incredibly inconvenient. Mm-hmm. And do you know what's more inconvenient than paying for gacha games?
A PvP system where your opponents potentially have 5 skills and you have 2?
No, that sounds really inconvenient. I think getting a full-ass horse in the mail would be the most inconvenient thing for
my
life.
I'm not looking
right
for
now.
Surrealism.
What, you don't want to ship somebody a full-ass horse? Like a full-ass living horse that they have to deal with?
Let me pitch you on this. I don't want to ship them a whole-ass horse.
Okay.
What I want is to them feel obligated to financially support a horse that they do not get.
Okay.
So, you know, those donate to charity things, or like, oh, you're a foster parent for a horse, mm-hmm. or like you're going to pay to send this horse to horse school.
Uh-huh.
But you don't get to see the horse. Like, you could maybe you'll get a visitation, right? Like, I'm saying that, like, in my game, there's going to be a horse named, like, Dougie's 5 Spin Kicks.
Okay.
And Dougie's 5 Spin Kicks has 5 skills,
he has 4
each of
legs.
Which is
where
a spin
does the 5
kick.
Spin kick? Where does the 5th spin kick come from? It's
yeah.
Like, it's like a ghostly, like, stand-like, just extra foot.
But the only way to get Dougie's 5 spin kicks, the really cool horse that can do 5 spin kicks, is if I subscribe to a system where I am financially...
Oh my god.
Caring for...
Adopt.
Real horse, the adopt-a-horse system, the real-world horse, Dougie's 5 spin kicks. And Dougie's 5 spin kicks has been, like, photographed, scanned, and put into the game and can do those 5 spin kicks. And maybe that's what every single horse is in this game.
So I like this because it's one, just kind of absurd, but also, like, hey man, horses get to, like, get fed and be treated well and like, as a bonus. Like, I'm kind of down with that. That's not necessarily inconvenient. That's just like just a good thing. Can I throw you one inconvenient thing and then we should go to boss fights?
Yes.
If a horse in the game is not used enough, they will be taken out of the game. So I want to build up this guilt for characters being like, hey, this horse that you really like, but only like 10 people out of the thousands of people that play this game actually use it. So, like, we make a big deal out of it. Like, for like at the end of every round, we play one of those sad ass crying commercial, like, sort of vibe things, you know, like, you know, for $1 a day, you can, you know, save this animal, you know, just like really just sad Mariah Carey music. of just like all of the horses that are about to be taken out or the horses that were then removed from the game.
Yes, because there's going to be a responsibility that people feel as like their main, right? Like mm-hmm. if I'm an Adorn Scorn main, mm-hmm. I need to make sure that other people are playing as Adorn Scorn. Please, mm-hmm. please, please be playing as Adorn Scorn. I don't want to see them removed.
Each horse has to maintain a specific amount of races to stay in each month. So yeah. like if a horse is not used for a minimum of 100 races, it's gone. It's gone to the pasture, boyo. Like that's
and like okay, so this like is a game sad. Where like our top tier horses, our top of the line 5-star horses, you need to be paying for so that like monthly payments so that you can keep access to this horse.
God.
And then the horses that are not played at all, no. like the 2-star horses.
No.
They might just start disappearing. Oh, and what this means is that we're going to see we're going to launch this game and there's going to be lots and lots of free horses.
Uh-huh.
But the way that by the nature of this game, the longer that this game goes on and the more whales start playing it, the more people that start cashing out the money, really start making that competitive scene
uh-huh.
bigger.
Uh-huh.
The more we're going to see those low level horses kind of phased out.
Mm-hmm.
Ergo, the longer this game goes on, the less likely we're going to be to see those like pesky free-to-play people mm-hmm. that don't help us as a businessman.
It's,
and the
it's
more
the
whales
that
we're going to see,
yeah.
the more competitive money
yeah.
cash cow people. This is
yeah.
a game that as it goes on, there's going to be less content, less updates, and more money.
Also, mechanically, I like the idea that we take out horses pretty frequently because that means we can reassign their powers to kind of similar horses. You know,
yeah.
like electric ball is going to have similar powers to, you know, lightning ball, you know, like it's just like it's just how it is.
Yeah. So, no one was using fireball, but lightning ball. Lots of people are into lightning ball.
I mean, those are two different elements, but
yeah, but that's just a palette swap. That's a change in the code, dog.
Oh, we just shift the color. It still looks like an electric ball, but it's just now red. It's just red.
It's a
now.
Palette swap and a new horse.
Hell yeah. All right. What are we calling this thing? I think Wizard Horse Racing would be pretty good.
What will we call this game? Mm-hmm. Is there a fancy word for horse racing?
No, I don't have enough money to go to horse racing.
So I found a website called equestrian is a word that we can play around with.
Equine wizards, equestrian wizards. Equestrian. That's just like real. That's a fucking mouthful. And
yeah, that's why I don't want to have 4 syllables. But if we can find a 1-word syllable to throw onto equine mm-hmm. something, or like a like, ring to it, I really want to.
I feel
that
like
word.
We need to use like magic or wizard, like because that's what the game is. You know, it's magic, racing, and wizards.
Blake, I hate that we have to come back to this naming convention that you come at.
Oh wait, hold on. We didn't do boss fights. Let's take a look at boss fights and name some of the horses.
Okay.
Yeah, the boss fights will be horses that are in the game. How about we do
that?
We
did forget to look at boss fights.
Yes, 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 yes.
Let's look at some boss fights and see if we can't turn some of these bosses into horses. For those that don't know, we have a Patreon Discord channel called Boss Fights, where our Patreon Discord users can submit bosses for each of our games every week.
Ooh, okay, I have one from Joe. The main character, but they are a clone given the Metal Gear Solid treatment. So, like, there is a set of horses that are all legendary, but they are different, like, there's Liquid Horse, there's Solid Horse, and there's Big Boss Old Horse. So it's just, like, it is each one has the same power, but they have, like, varying different stats. Does that work?
Yeah, I like the idea of also, like, horse, punished horse. Liquid horse.
And they all have eye patches, and that's the thing.
I got Noam Chomsky, Anarchist Gnome. And this made me think of Chomsky from Gravity Falls. This is from Gazer, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Chomsky from Gravity Falls?
Yes.
Maybe there's a horse in there that's Noam Chomsky, and it's just a gnome riding on a goat.
Oh, so it's like it's that introduces the idea that like there are sometimes things that just aren't horses.
Yeah, this
Ooh.
Would be like an event limited horse.
Ooh.
But yeah,
I like that. All right, I have another one from Zendrika. Literal Satan, but he has the clown emoji for a head, so it's just clown Satan.
Clown Satan. Now, is this a donkey option or is this a horse?
I feel it's the horse is Satan and the jockey is the clown. So it's a clown jockey riding on a Ghost Rider looking horse.
All right.
I think
that's about a name.
All right. So are we going to do the naming convention where you pick a word and I pick a word?
We may need to do that.
Ooh, actually, can I give you one that's like, I just, it's ringing out to me.
Yeah, what do you got?
Equestrian spell or horse's spell?
I don't want the word horse.
You don't want the word, but that's like, that's what the game is.
Yeah, but like League of Legends isn't called Murder Pit.
I mean, but that's a shame because that would
welcome
be
welcome to Gears of War, or as we like to call it, Buff Guy Shoot Man.
Well, okay, I feel like equestrian isn't a simplified word for horse. You're saying Gears of War, buff guy thing. It doesn't narrow it down specifically. Equestrian doesn't narrow down horses. It's just like a more complicated way of saying horses.
All right, hit me with a magic word and I'll hit you with a pairing horse word.
A pairing horse word. Okay.
Yeah, I looked up on Macmillan Dictionary. I looked up horse words and I've got just a bunch of different horse words here. So hit me with a magic word and I'll hit you with a good horse word.
All right. Let me.
Or maybe even a horse phrase. We'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling.
Okay. One second. Okay. I got one.
All right. Let's hear it.
Power.
Power?
Yeah. Power or powers?
Hmm.
This isn't working well.
Yeah, not a very good magic coded word.
Well,
my
I'm
man.
Sorry, dude. I named like all of the other ones already. Wizard, spell, magic, caster. I don't know, dude. Horse casters. Equestrian caster.
Might I suggest?
Uh-huh.
Casters in the saddle.
Interesting. Okay, I like in the saddle, but I don't like the caster part of that.
All right, in the saddle.
All right.
Spells in the saddle. Tomes in the saddle. What's like a wizard butt going to look like? What makes a magic butt?
I just pictured, like, I don't know why, but calling a wizard's butt a grimoire is like pretty fucking funny.
Grimoires in the saddle is very good.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's like funny.
All right. What else we got?
Something saddle, power saddle.
I got the word bareback. Does that do anything for you?
No.
What about gallop?
Gallop. All right. Galloping spells, galloping wizards.
Galloping spells isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's gotta be a more unique synonym for spell, right?
Magic.
Blake, we do words for a living.
Bro, we're a couple of himbos. This is not... No. No.
Incantation,
no.
Charm, conjuration, rune, ooh. Abracadabra, sorcery. There's so many better words.
Abracadabra spell. Or abracadabra saddle. Or... That was a sentence, I promise.
Abracadabra spell.
I meant to say abracadabra saddle, but they both begin with S. All right,
fuck it. Abracadabra saddle. is the one.
Okay, abracadabra saddle.
Abracadabra saddle is the best we're going to get.
I mean, like, I gave you one wizard horse. I think is pretty good. Or wizard racing.
Wizard horse. No, Blake, we gotta do better.
I don't know if abracadabra saddle. Well, now that I'm saying it, it does sound pretty funny.
It certainly leaks better than wizard horse.
I don't know. Bro, I opened this episode with a SpongeBob riff. What do you want from me? I'm not at my A game right now. All right, fuck it. That's abracadabra saddle. That's our fucking game. Thank you.
Holy fuck. You ready to go to patch notes?
Yeah, I'm ready to go to patch notes. Thank you, Dustin. Dustin's the one who gave us the submission, right? Yeah, Dustin, your eyes?
No, that was Busto.
Busto gave us the horse game.
Yeah, our horse submission came from Caleb at Busto314.
All right, can we just cut this whole thing out where I said thank you?
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Oh my goodness. What do we want to plug in patch notes? I don't know if it's really a foundation or anything, but maybe we should plug just to tell our audience to check out and keep an eye on what's happening in Portland.
Yeah, I think that would be good. Be like, hey, some things are going on in Portland. Just keep an eye out. Maybe that we don't know how this is going to affect everybody. You know?
Yeah, like I don't know if there's any organizations or funds right now, but I think that that's just in general something people should be paying attention to.
Yeah, just stay informed and stuff. I think that would be good.
Okay. And do we have anything for ourselves we'd like to plug?
I want to mention that...
we have that bonus episode dropping this week.
The bonus episode probably Thursday. So
which do we want to plug first? Our fun thing or the serious thing?
The main issue is I think most people are going to dip out. Just realistically, most people are going to dip out with the realistic thing. But the realistic thing is more important than us talking about our Joe Schmo bonus episode.
Okay.
So I feel like we just mentioned both, and like I think we should go out of our way to mention on Twitter sometime this week that a bonus episode is coming on Thursday. So maybe tomorrow. That's my post on Monday. Be like, okay. Hey, we for this week we're releasing a regular episode on Tuesday, and then we have a bonus episode coming your way on Thursday. Go to our Patreon to check out more.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Hello everybody and welcome to Patch Notes.
First things first, we want to mention something in the real world outside of our funny haha podcast, because some things have to be mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Please, if you are not already, I implore all of you to Google search and look up and be educated on what is happening in Portland, Oregon right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's really wild. It's really...
Well, I think the important thing, too, about it is I don't necessarily know how contained this thing is going to be, because if somebody put out an order for... The basic premises is that unmarked vans are showing up at protests and grabbing people and just taking them away. And I don't see that being just limited to Portland, Oregon. You know, like I think if you're one of the people that's still actively protesting, it's just something to be aware of, because who knows, it could come to any protest. And just stay mindful and stay safe, you know.
Stay protected. Make sure people know where you're at and keep your eye on what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And outside of that, we just want to mention that we have a bonus episode from our lovely patrons. We actually released it a little bit early for them, and it seems to be doing pretty well. We have a bonus episode coming, hopefully this Thursday, where we, instead of cracking a game, we crack a movie. And we're really excited with how it turned out, and we are super pumped to share it with you all.
Yeah, it was an absolute blast to do, and mm-hmm. I can't wait for you all to see it. As always... Our intro and outro music is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I've been your host, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made.